Hey, comedy fans, welcome to another edition of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I'm your host, my name is Vinny, and joining me in studio today, it's Gina Brillion. Today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at Three Heads Brewing, the makers of Rochester's most delicious beer. Remember, folks, drink responsibly, do good things, and always be kind. All right, my guest today is an award-winning stand-up performer. You may know her from AGT, The Conners, or from her three comedy specials, Easily Offended, Pacifically Speaking, and her latest Amazon Prime special, The Floor is Lava. Gina Brillion.
Oh, well, that was closer. Brillion.
Brillion. I'll get there. I got to learn how a microphone works first, but I'll get there. So, Gina, welcome back to Comedy at the Carlson. We are excited to have you for another great weekend. Starting tonight, there are five shows.
Yes, I'm excited to be here. I had such a great time last time. The audiences really came out and came out for a good time. And that always makes my job a lot easier.
You know, the mentality of the audience is very, very helpful.
Yeah, it does mean that when you come in ready to have fun with an open mind, like that's the best way to take any comedy show in.
Yeah. I feel like last weekend was a lot of fun. I emceed last weekend. I haven't emceed in a while. And Friday, the Friday early show was really interesting to me.
Okay.
And I really like how you brought this up. It's the mentality of the audience coming in.
Mm-hmm.
We had a really bad weather situation last Friday.
Ooh.
Pouring snow, not real great. And the crowd for the first show, the 7 o'clock show, was really, really tight walking in. And I just feel like that was because so much stuff was happening around them to get to the comedy show. But folks, when you come to a comedy show, you got to remember, leave that stuff at the door.
It's a hard thing to do, but like think of it as your mental vacation. For the next couple of minutes, come in, let go of all your stuff, and let's see where the night goes. Like be a little, you know, looser. Like I think that's the best way to just kind of take in any art form. It's like let yourself be open to it and have fun. But if you show up already angry, if you show up already to fight, like I can't fix that, I can't make that better, that's on you.
No well-written joke or perfectly performed well-timed punchline is going to fix your problems
because you've decided you're mad. And once you decide that and that's your decision for the whole night, I'll be surprised if anything can get in there and make you happy.
So, Gina, you've been here before. This is your second time at the Carlson. Folks, I highly recommend you go back and listen to, I believe it was episode 156 of this show.
Jeez.
When Gina came on, because today's going to, in a lot of ways, is going to be a part two. Because I listened to this again last week, and I listened to it again the other day, just to kind of feel the Gina vibe again and think about what we talked about. You said something that was really, really profound that I want to get back to, because it was really interesting.
What I say?
You said that the trick to doing stand-up comedy to you is making the stage feel like your home.
Oh, yes.
And it was something that we kind of glossed over, but we didn't really elaborate on it. And the more I thought about it, I have a lot of questions.
Yes.
What does the stage feeling like home do for you in particular? Because I feel like when I go home, that's when I like relax and I'm not into stuff. Like I feel like I got to make it feel like work.
And I feel like it's where I'm my best self.
Okay.
You know, where I'm not ashamed to be who I am, where I don't put on anything. I am 100% me because I'm at home. I think the problem is a lot of people don't see the stage as their home. So they try to be a persona. They try to put out what they think the audience will like. I think if I do this, they will like me. And so once audiences start liking it, they become addicted to being liked more than being themselves. But the more at home you are on that stage, you almost can't help it. It comes out of you naturally because you're welcoming people now into your home. So it also gives the control kind of to the performer to say, I'm letting you into my home. I run things here. So I think it just gives you a different air of confidence on stage.
That's very interesting. Do you feel that when do you feel like you're not at home? Do you ever get that vibe?
Oh gosh,
sometimes?
Yeah. Oh gosh. And it's normally like TV stuff.
Okay.
Like it's hard to be at home when you've got a bunch of producers talking at you or like a bunch of cameras around you. Like it takes a lot of practice to be like, I can still be myself. And in those moments, because sometimes there's a certain goal, Like if you have information to get out, if you're doing a promo for something, it can be a little bit awkward to kind of get into that groove of
Sure.
really being at ease.
Sure. But when it comes to the stand-up stage, you're the one who controls that. But you don't ever have that feeling on stage where things like if you are you saying that when you bring that vibe, it translates to the rest of the room?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think when you bring that vibe and you create that environment, people walk in. I think everybody would understand this. Have you ever walked into a place and automatically everything in your being is like, no, I don't like being here. And maybe you'll blame it on the ambiance. Maybe you'll blame it on the noise. But there's something about that space that makes you not want to be there.
Certainly.
I think people create a vibe. And once you get a vibe that doesn't suit you, you're like, I don't want to be here. And that happens in comedy shows too. Like nobody's immune to it. But if I set the vibe for everybody, the majority of people are going to walk in to an already set environment. I've set the vibe. I want everybody to come, have a good time, be happy. I'm not here to stress you out. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like I'm here to talk about some stuff. And yet, even if things get heavy, some of my favorite comics are heavy comics. It still sets a vibe of I'm going to trust you with this vulnerability. If you look at like a lot of Carlin's stuff when he got more social commentary, like
Yeah.
it wasn't always comfortable in the room, but you were still kind of sitting on the edge of your seat wondering what was going to be said
Yeah.
next.
I feel like those are two very different styles. And
Oh, yeah.
I'm feeling like this approach that you're coming to the audience with is definitely a little more low key and a little more subtle.
Yeah, I appreciate the subtleties of comedy. I'm a big fan of people who can insert something and they'll be hilarious people. Like I'm a big fan of Eddie Izzard, who has a
Sure.
little subtleties to his
Yeah.
comedy that when you're a fan, you pick up on in each special. It's almost like an Easter egg for your fans, the little subtle moments of humor. Even Daniel Tosh does a great job when he ends a joke going, Hot Pockets, and then he just pauses and goes, A friend of mine wrote the end of that joke. And without even, knowing, obviously, if you're a comedy fan, you go, that was a nod to Jim Gaffigan.
Right.
And so it's little things like that, the
Sure.
subtleties that are so amazing to me in comedy. And I think that's when you love an art form, people are like that with music, people are like that with art, with museums, with sculptures. The little subtleties make the biggest difference.
How do you get into the headspace to create home before you walk out to a stage? Because you have to follow other performers.
Yeah.
And I know that you brought your feature act with you, James Goff.
Who
Guy's hysterical,
I
folks.
love him.
It's gonna be a really great weekend. You're really gonna enjoy it.
Yeah.
So like when you have to work with the right people to create that vibe, you think, or
Yeah, I think you set the vibe of the people you want around you. And
sure.
so, before doing a club, I will usually tell them I bring my opener. If I can, I bring a host. If I can't, then I usually ask them to send me some like videos, some like
Sure.
set from the host. So I know the kind of personalities I'm going to be around because that's also an important thing to know. Like I'm going to be in the green room with these people. I need to know that I want to hang out with these people that, I don't want somebody coming in that's, just negative or not in the right place or not energy wise somebody I want to mix
Is this why I got bumped? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Now, Gina, this is really interesting. We're talking about the vibes of comedy,
Yeah.
folks. The vibes. We got some comments coming in. Let's see what we got here. Probably people telling me to tell me that there was no sound. Yep, that was me. Thanks, OJ. That was all me.
Well, there's sound now.
Now, Gina, one of the things I don't think you talk about too often is you're a twin.
I am an identical twin.
An identical twin. So that
Yeah.
means
There's
twin pranks.
twin. We didn't actually, we were so identical as kids. We never had to pull pranks. People just did it to themselves. Like teachers, there was one like infamous moment in my elementary school where my teacher and my sister's teacher, they were both walking their classes through the hallway and we were passing by each other. And her teacher grabbed me and my teacher grabbed her to switch us back to our proper lines, thinking that we had snuck onto someone else's line. And then in the middle, you just see the two of us standing there. They're like, oh, there's two of them. There's, oh, wow, there's two of
Do they do the
them.
Wiped her glasses.
Kind just of like shocked look on their face of like, oh, we didn't realize that there were two of them. So we didn't really have to do that. My sister looks a little different from me now. Like she's had some health issues that have like affected how she looked. But like if she walked in here, you'd be like, oh, Gina changed her clothes completely.
Okay. I just don't, you know, I know two sets of twins in comedy. I know you. I know the Sklar brothers.
Oh, the Sklar brothers.
None of you did twin pranks. What is going on?
I don't know. Like, I guess, I don't know. Like, we weren't the twins that wanted to prank anybody. Like, I did have, like pretty scummy dudes be like we'd break up and they'd be like, can I date your sister? And I'm like, no, you weirdo. You may not date her.
I dumped you. What makes you think my sister's gonna want to date you?
She knows everything horrible about you. Yeah, like I would have guys like do that, like, but we never intentionally did any pranks.
That is some wishful thinking on that guy's part, isn't it?
Like, what if I was like, I don't care. Yeah, go ahead. Fine. I'm fine. Go ahead. Date her. She has worse taste than me. Go ahead. Date her.
How many times did this happen?
Twice, which is still too many. Too many.
Wild.
Yeah.
Wild. So how is little Jaden? The last time you were
amazing.
Here, he made an appearance on the show.
He did. That's my little one. That's my little man's.
Now he's got to be three.
He's 2.5 now. He's going to be 3 in July. And he is amazing. He's learning so quickly. He's at the point now where he's realizing what questions are.
Okay.
So he's realizing how to ask a question instead of make a statement, or like when to make a statement versus asking a question. And he's like starting to learn the difference between can I have toys and I can have toys. Okay. And so it's been interesting watching him phrase things, and like he's also in a very mommy please phase. Like now everything is mommy please. Like if anybody else is in the room, he's like, may I see my mother? Mommy, please. Mommy.
That's funny.
That's cute. It's adorable.
Now, when you have a little one like that who's learning the language and you're a comedian whose job is the language, mm-hmm. and we talked about the subtleties of it, there's got to be barrels of comedy in this, having a young one learning like this.
Oh yeah, well he's sometimes you really don't realize how quick kids are to pick up things like sponges. Mm-hmm. And like because I speak English and Spanish, like I'll sometimes curse in Spanish and he'll just immediately, I hear a little voice behind me like puñeta, like just a little, like, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Like I gotta stop saying that because you're gonna say that around grandma, I'm gonna get in trouble. So like I have to keep in mind all the time the importance of language, not just for the reasons of cursing, but also even just getting mad at myself. And if I drop something going, oh my God, I'm so stupid. Next thing you know, my son, I'm so stupid. And it's like, you have to pay attention to the way you use language even more, which is a good exercise, I think.
You know, it's interesting to me, like the way a child's brain works, like you're born, it's pretty much a blank slate. Mm-hmm. Whatever's in there, I can't tell you what a newborn baby is thinking. I don't think anybody really can. So like, of course there's sponges because there's like an absence of knowledge. It's just every sense is just being stored. Everything it's picking up is being stored and sent back at you.
Yeah. And it's important to make sure that you're receiving their little baby signals in the right way so that you can help them work through these big emotions, and they can't even describe how much they're feeling in those moments when they're learning something new. Like I remember when my son realized he had to say, I want a snack versus do you want a snack?
Gotcha.
We were in Atlanta and he literally said, he stopped and he went, do I want, do. And he went, I want a snack. And it, like, this light bulb went off and he was so excited and he just kept repeating it. He went, I want a snack. And I went, oh my goodness. And I made a big deal out of it because, you know, it was a big moment for him, but he couldn't even describe this excitement that he was feeling just at the way that he realized, I want something to eat.
Yeah. I do that all the time. My wife's not
you
as impressed.
You are hilarious.
My wife is definitely not as impressed.
I want a snack. She's like, get up and get it yourself, bro.
It's on the counter next to the divorce papers. One interesting thing I learned about you that I didn't know the last time.
Uh-huh.
Gina, you're a singer?
I used to sing in church, yes. And occasionally you'll hear me singing in my hotel room, but I'm not a singer.
Okay.
I used to sing in church and I loved it. I was part of a praise team for like 7 years. I sang alto. Shout out to all my altos. What? I still love it. I still love to sing occasionally, like with my son and to my son. But like, it's not like I'm gonna drop the hottest album of 2023.
Sure. Well, your husband's a musician, right?
Yes, he is.
He is. Okay.
Yes.
So this your son is going to be a very musical child, I have a
He
feeling.
already is. Like he loves to, like, he plays the piano with his dad. He loves seeing his dad play guitar, because my husband plays like seven different instruments. And you know, he's got a little drum set.
Really?
Yeah, my husband plays mainly keyboard, but he plays keyboard, piano, guitar, bass, harmonica, trombone, and drums.
That's a lot of instruments that are not all easy in
Yes.
themselves to learn.
No, they're not
There's a
at
big difference
all.
between the drums and a trombone.
Yeah. He is a wildly talented individual, and I love watching. Like, when I go to watch my husband play, I'm like the biggest fangirl. Like,
Yeah.
I absolutely love what he does.
That's so cool. I feel like when it comes down to it, music and stand-up are so different. But I also feel like when you're singing, it's probably the closest thing that you're going to get to stand up, as opposed to like playing an instrument, and those things don't translate. But
Yeah.
when you're singing in a choir, do you feel like you learned anything from that that's affected your stage performance, like in terms of stand up? Is there any like lessons that you've poured it over?
Yeah, I think, you know what? I was petrified to sing in church. Because music ministry is such a big deal in church. It's not something that's taken lightly, especially in Latino churches.
I don't know. I went to my in-laws' church in Alabama,
And
and there was a dude who looked like a sweaty Elvis impersonator singing, and I don't
I
think they took
think
it very
white people
seriously.
church is different
Okay.
than especially than Latino church. Like, it's a music ministry is a very big deal, and so I was not definitely was anything but perfect, and remain anything but perfect. But it taught me a lot about letting go. It also taught me a lot about, if you want something, you really have to set yourself up for the win. You know, I had to change my mentality going into things and not, you know, be so afraid that I was going to mess up. I had to accept that messing up was part of the process. And I think anytime you get used to that idea of failures or pitfalls, it's always beneficial, because every level of life, no matter what you do, whether you're a comedian, a carpenter, whatever, every level of life will come with its shared difficulties. If you can go in looking at those difficulties as challenges that can help you grow and things that can push you to that next level, it helps you out. It really doesn't matter where you're at
Sure.
in life. It will always help you to have that
You
attitude.
know, realizing that mistakes are part of the process is a very, very, very common thing that people don't think about.
No matter
And
how many
growing
people
in
say it.
anything, you're going to
Yeah.
mess up.
No matter how many people say it, how many people have to give speeches on failure and how failure is part of the process and the way to success. It's like a big science experiment. Look at it as that. Like, we're trying to prove our hypothesis. So we're going to have to go through all of these things and all of these little trials and tribulations
Sure.
to prove our hypothesis. And so we need to get to that point. So we got it, whatever the road takes us there. Every failure is a possible lesson for you to do better next time.
Can't argue with that. You're very spot on correct. Spot on correct.
Wait, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, what have you been up to lately? It's been 2 years since I've seen you. What's going on in Gina's
Yes.
world? Give me some
Oh
updates.
gosh, it's okay. So,
I see you got a run of shows coming up on the West Coast.
yes, I got a bunch of shows. I'm touring right now because I'm working out material for a new hour.
Amazing.
And I'm so excited. I'm so excited about the stuff that I'm talking about now. Obviously, having become a mother and have other things in my life, like America's Got Talent and all these different things that, you know, have affected my journey so far, you know, I grow, the material grows. So I'm really excited about what I'm doing right now. I also shot a movie. I shouldn't say I shot a movie. I didn't film it. There was a company that
I
filmed it.
wrote,
I
I
was in a
directed,
movie.
I sang in,
I
I
was, right? I am the movie.
my husband played seven instruments in the score, the soundtrack.
So I'm in a movie.
What's it called?
It's called Dashing, last I heard, but like then again, I'm probably letting out too much information already. But
Okay.
it's for Disney, and it's a Disney movie, and it will be on Disney Plus. And I play a a very fun character that I can't wait for everybody to meet. It's a Christmas movie, so it's a great family movie, and I think it's going to be so much fun. Little Rel is in it, as well as Ludacris. So those were the co-stars, and I absolutely had an amazing time.
You're telling me you co-starred in a Disney movie with Ludacris?
Well, I mean,
a Disney Christmas movie with Luda.
I wouldn't say like, I mean, I think Luda and Little Rel were the co-stars.
Got it.
I was like this, whatever's under the sub. I was there. I was like, hey, I was there too.
You were a supporting actor.
Yes.
Okay.
Like if they were going to win a Disney Christmas film, like award, I would be up for best supporting actor.
They call those the Disney Crimbos. That's what they call
them. The Crimbos.
The Crimbo Awards.
Okay.
I made that up.
Well, I was all excited. I was like, I might get a Crimbo.
Well, put it next to the Gracie.
I will. Oh, gosh, my Gracie. Yes, I have a Gracie Award.
You do
yes.
have a Gracie Award. You are an award-winning performer. Ooh. Gina Brilion.
So you're getting closer. It's like you're getting closer and closer.
Do you see how I tried to sneak it in there?
You did.
You
were, and you were very, very confident in that try. I appreciate that.
Should I be looking for this movie this coming winter?
Yes, you should. It should be out this coming winter.
That's exciting. I'm happy for you. That's really great.
Thank you.
Now, I know one of your goals is to do more acting stuff.
Yes.
So, you know, fingers crossed for you. I hope it goes incredibly well.
I hope so, too. I mean, the stars are aligning for me in some projects, so I'm looking forward to whatever comes my way.
Now, I'm going to tell you folks something. There are 5 shows. They start tonight. There's 1 tonight, 2 tomorrow, and 2 Saturday. And the tickets are on sale right now at carlsoncomedy.com. You can come and see Gina Brilion yourself right here at Comedy at the Carlson in person before she never shows up again because I can't say her name. Brilliant. I'm going Gina Brilliant.
Just go with Brion.
I'm going Brillin. Gina Brillin. Ladies and gentlemen, Gina Brillin. She's gonna kill it this weekend. So hold on. Before you get out of here, I know you got a lot of stuff going on today.
Uh-huh.
And I know that you know, you have to set the vibe for your shows tonight.
Yes.
Before you get out of here, AGT.
Uh-huh.
I know that like you haven't done a lot with them now, but mm-hmm. It's such an interesting way to get launched into the limelight.
Oh yeah.
But let's talk about what kind of happens when like you're done with AGT mm-hmm. and you're out there and you're doing your own things. Now you're kind of like on your own. You're doing stand up all over the place. You have another special coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you stay in touch with anybody there? Do they contact you? What is that relationship like now?
Well, I mean, with the producers itself, like it's, you know, kind of more of an acquaintanceship.
Sure.
If they think if they had a question, I'd have a producer reach out to me and ask me if I had any people I thought would be good for the show, and I gave my choice of names, and that's all I can do. You know what I mean? Like, hey, look these comics up. I'm a fan of these comics, and then you do the rest. I can only, you ask my opinion, but it's not like I talk to the producers every day, but sure. The people that I was on the show with, I'm still in communication with, like Jimmy Hurrah, who was on the show. Uh-huh. And gosh, why am I blanking on her name now? She's a singer. It was on the show. Why am I blanking on her name? I feel so bad. Oh my God. I feel
Susan
so bad.
Boyle.
Girl, don't be mad at me. One of the singers from the show, Brooke Simpson. Okay. Oh, I was like, why am I forgetting her name? We're literally on a group text. Yes, Brooke and Jimmy and I were the three musketeers from the show. We hung out the whole time and it was amazing. And they're amazing people and wonderful artists. And we stay in contact and just keep up with each other.
So the real relationship is with your co-contestants.
Yeah. I think I was very lucky. I ended up on a season where nobody was a problem. Nobody was a diva. Like everybody was pretty chilled as far as, you know, hanging out with each other. Like I'm hoping they also treated the staff of the show like that.
Sure.
But when we were all together, like nobody was too much or like just rude. Everybody was really supportive. Everyone was just looking out for one another, like, hey, great performance. Like it was very supportive environment, and I liked it a lot, so we stayed in touch.
But when you say that there was nothing going on your season, that implies that there are other seasons where there's horror stories going around.
Well, I mean, I think everybody's heard horror stories from like shows, whether you know they're true or not. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I'm sure there were people that were like super competitive other years. And I'm sure there were people that weren't the most friendly. But I lucked out in that, like, I didn't have to experience that. I can't speak for everybody's thing, you know, but I didn't have to experience that. And my only real interactions were with the people I was performing with. It's not like I got to chill with Sophia on a weekly basis.
Right.
She saw me when I hit the stage for my performance, and that was it. The only person I did get to hang out with was Howie. And he was pretty, pretty cool.
All right. All right. Well, Gina Brilliant, everybody, she's going to be here this weekend.
That was the closest.
Gina Brilliant.
That was the closest.
Gina's going to be here this weekend. CarlsonComedy.com. I cannot believe I'm a fat-tongued idiot who cannot say your last name to save his life. I try so hard, too. But 5 more shows this weekend. And, folks, you're going to have a great time. You're going to see James Goff. You're going to see Gina. And it's going to be a great time at the Carlson. So get your tickets now. And if you want to follow Gina, you're going to go to Gina Brilliant Comedy and G Brilliant on Instagram and at Gina Brilliant on Twitter. That's where you could follow her and stay abreast of what's going on, because she's got some things going on. And I don't think she's going to talk about all of them.
No,
she's not going to tell us about all of them, but there's stuff coming up. So follow that. And remember, we will be back with you with another episode next Friday. And I believe Big J Okerson will be joining us on the show, so I'm pretty excited for that. And until next week, act right, Rochester. We'll see you at the show. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget, we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at Carlson Cast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.